Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's 4:02 in the Pacific Time Zone. I'm Radical Russ, coming to you live from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, where it's raining cats and dogs, just like it should as we approach April. Oh, I tell ya, some people are starting to rile me up. They want to get all riled up, but I'm getting riled up. Let me start with the getting riled up about the show. As you may have noticed, longtime viewers, I should say, that my show is no longer on video. You're no longer seeing me while I do this show. And I had Jackstraw72 in the chat room say, I hate this new format. Hate it. Apparently you don't hate it enough to not tune in. Okay. So here's the deal, folks. Recording an MP3 takes 80 megabytes of hard drive space per an hour at 192 kilobits per second. Recording a high definition 720p video takes 1.2 gigabytes. Since I've been recording all of my stuff on video, I've not had enough hard drive space to store it all. So I went and bought myself a 2 terabyte hard drive. And on this 2 terabyte hard drive, I loaded about 4 years worth of videos that I've made. And that 2 terabyte hard drive failed. I lost 2 to 4 years of the material I'd had recorded. Part of the reason that hard drive failed is because all the writes back and forth of video that it had to do and all the different video clips that I was making. Another problem I've been having is when I do the video, not being able to stream it at a very high frame rate, because streaming all that video is just too much tax on the bandwidth that I've got. Another issue that was happening is my computer crashing about every other day, bringing down the entire 420 radio network because of conflicts between the video drivers, the video camera, the Windows operating system, the Manycam software, the Flash media encoder, and Ustream that it takes to produce all this video. And a thought occurred to me. It's called 420 radio. It's radio. I began this thing without any video. I installed a webcam at one point because I thought it might be cute to have a webcam. Might be nice to have a webcam. Maybe people could see what we're doing. And this just evolved and metamorphosed into something that was way beyond my control. I'm one guy, people. When you hear this show, the writer of this show is me. The engineer of this show is me. The board operator of the show is me. The director of the show is me. The engineer of the show is me. And the janitor of the show is me. And on top of that, we have to add video editor, director, cameraman, graphics. It was just too much, okay? And I wanted to be able to keep doing this. I want to keep doing this for the rest of my life. I love doing this show. But when it comes right down to it, I'm a radio guy. I started radio in 2006. I started doing the normal podcast in 2008. I turned it into a live show in 2009, and I love doing it. And the video was getting to the point where I was hating doing this show. Already dropping video on this show has freed up an hour of my day. Really, folks, really. When I was prepping this show for a noontime show, it would take me, I'm sorry, a 3 p.m. show, 3 p.m. show Pacific time. By 2 p.m., I had to start doing all the graphics and video work or I wouldn't be ready in time for the 3 p.m. show. So the entire hour from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock for me has now been freed up to do a better show. And during the show, I'm now freed up to do all the tweeting, the live tweeting of the show that I should be doing during the commercial breaks, but couldn't because I was getting the video ready for the next segment. Now I can do more of that interaction on the chat room with folks because I can chat with you during the commercial breaks instead of getting the video ready for the next segment. So if you don't like that I don't have video, you can log on to a show that does. This show's audio only. It's 420 radio, and that's the way it's going to be. I thank all of you who love it this way, all of you who like the audio, which is most of my audience. Those of you watching the videos were about 1 out of 10 people that get my show. So I had to make a decision. If I lose a tenth of my audience because I turn off the video, then so be it, because I got an hour of my day back. All right. Enough of my personal gripes. Sorry to start the second hour this way. We're going to be taking calls in the next segment and continuing on. We are talking Ohio today. Responsible Ohio Amendment 2015.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Twenty Radio. Tune in, turn on, get highly educated. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Oh man, I really dig this tune. You should really check out this groove.
Cool.
Hey, check out more deep cuts like this on my show, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, every Thursday night on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Welcome back, everyone. 10 after the hour, you're listening to Toker Talk Radio. The phone lines are lighting up. We got someone hanging on the line. We're going to keep you there for just a second. But we are going to be talking about Ohio. It's O-State Day. Hour one was Oregon. Hour two is Ohio. We're talking about the Responsible Ohio Amendment. And let me just set the stage for this before we get into our calls so that everybody knows what we're talking about. In Ohio, they could be voting to legalize marijuana this November. That's right. Ohio could legalize marijuana before California. Can you believe that? 10 years ago, you make me that bet, you'd have been rich because I would have never believed such a thing. But here's the problem. There's some controversy with this legalization. Like there isn't controversy with any of them, but there's some pretty legit controversy with this one. I have referred to the Responsible Ohio Amendment as the shittiest legalization you could offer that I would vote for. So let me just get that right off the bat, that I would vote for this thing. And let me explain to people what it is. Responsible Ohio would legalize personal possession of an ounce of marijuana. It would legalize the personal home cultivation of 4 marijuana plants and possession of 8 ounces, so long as you're a licensed home producer. That is, you'd have to have a license to home grow, but it would be legal. And it would legalize pot stores. You could shop in a pot store, buy your marijuana, or you could open a pot store and get a license and open a pot store. It's going to legalize processing of marijuana. You could open a processing plant if you wanted to. But here's the catch. Here's the thing that's pissing people off. Here's the thing that's got my callers lighting up the board here. If you want to be a person who grows marijuana for a living, you're shit out of luck. Because Responsible Ohio institutes a 10-member or a 10-grow cartel of sorts. It specifies that there shall only be 12 sites for growing marijuana. Now, it just so happens these 10 sites for growing marijuana will go to these 10 groups that have funded the campaign to legalize marijuana under Responsible Ohio. In a sense, it's like 10 rich folks or 10 rich groups got together to buy themselves legalization that makes them the only growers in Ohio. And that's what's got people really pissed off. And I have to admit, it's worth being pissed off over. Let me make sure that everyone's clear on this. This is one of those situations where if you disagree with this law, I totally understand why you're disagreeing with it and don't necessarily have a problem with it. Personally, I can never vote against something that keeps people out of jail for smoking marijuana. But let's go to the calls because you've been hanging on for a long time. We've got the 859 area code already on the line. You're on Toker Talk Radio. What's on your mind?
859 area code already on the line. You're on Toker Talk Radio. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hi there. Hey, we got a bit of a delay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I can hear you, Russ.
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yes. Well, first off, I'm picturing you, now that you don't have video feed, sitting there in your PJs because you don't have that 1 hour prep time anymore.
Actually, Boise State sweats. You're close.
Yeah, I appreciate everything you're doing for the movement. I really do. I've listened to quite a number of your podcasts, and they're awesome.
Thank you.
I actually don't know why you picked up my call first, because I know other people were calling in. But I'm sitting here in Cincinnati. I'm actually Linda Bumpus. I ran against Rob Ryan due to my opposition to Responsible Ohio. I never would have run against him, were it not for that. I'm tied in with the other movements, and would appreciate if the listening audience could back us up here in Ohio. Their OTEP, Ohioans to End Prohibition, OTEP, and Responsible Ohioans for Cannabis PAC, and back us up with the legislation that's going to be coming out shortly. Mm-hmm. If you live in Ohio and you can hear the sound of my voice, please call the legislators and talk to them. We need that medical legislation passed. And then lastly, Ohio Rights Group, they are still out there. There are people still actively circulating. And I understand the drawbacks, but now's the time to pull together. I appreciate you back all legalization. I actually don't back Responsible Ohio and have been quite vocal about it. And the Ohio scene has united behind the scenes. All the initiatives are saying, we'll take anything but that. So I don't know what anybody who can hear this can do to help, other than help fund our initiatives, back us up, because they're coming to a state near you next.
Gotcha.
And, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your comments on that. And I appreciate all the time you've been listening to the show. And, you know, I'm just going to keep taking calls and hear other people's opinions, because I get all day to talk day after day. I want to hear what other people have to say about this. We got another call on the line, 317 area code. What's on your mind?
Hey, Russ, this is Chris Thompson. I'm the executive director of Purdue Normal. I'm a longtime fan, listened to the show before. Kind of what I want to talk about, I actually had a question for you. I kind of agree with you. I couldn't not vote for something that would keep people out of jail. I agree with that. Do you think if this gets passed that people will be able to amend the Constitution effectively enough so that more businesses than these 10 will be able to grow?
Not quickly, because constitutional amendments are tough. And someone was telling me in chat that Responsible Ohio does have a mechanism built into it to adjust and add or change how many grow sites were allowed. I can't confirm that. I haven't, you know, dug super deep into it. But if that's the case, that bodes better for the initiative. Here's the thing, is that to me, the only person, the only class of marijuana person this effects under Responsible Ohio is the person who wants to grow marijuana commercially can't do it. Everybody else is covered. Medical patients are covered. Home growers are covered. People that want to possess, people that want to open shops, people that want to open processors, people want to buy at a store. Everybody else is covered. Just the growers who want to make a living at it are not. So, you know, to me, that's not a deal breaker at this point. Yeah. And again, maybe I come at this because I'm a consumer and I mm-hmm. don't intend to grow marijuana and make a living at it. So maybe that's skewing my view.
Yeah. And like, I agree with you. It's not a deal breaker. I would still definitely vote for the measure. And it's something like, I mean, here in Indiana, I mean, we're dealing with our own problems right now with the discrimination law. But we're definitely looking in Ohio to see like what they do, because obviously they're a border state. What they do is going to definitely affect us. But I agree that it's not a deal breaker. But I am someone who I'm going to Purdue for biological engineering. I hope to one day own a cannabis company. It's going to be interesting to see that I might not be able to, you know, work in Ohio. So
yeah, and I think in the long run, though, this plan of theirs, Responsible Ohio's, is untenable. I'm kind of part of mm-hmm. what's in the back of my mind in supporting this is that, look, 10 years of this, it's not going to hold up. They're going to find other states nearby are going to legalize. They're going to find massive amounts of weed coming over the border to avoid however the cartels screw up their side of things. I mean, mm-hmm. I believe like in that Jeff Goldblum line from Jurassic Park, life finds a way. And cannabis finds a way, man. It's going to find a way to in such a way that they can't control it like they think they can. So in the long term, I think no matter what they do, it's going to turn out good for the people of Ohio.
All right. Definitely. I agree with that.
All right, man. Thanks for your call and good luck on Indiana, man. Tough stuff there.
Thanks a bunch. Yeah, I'll actually be in a Normal this summer working an internship. So that's going to be fun.
Right on. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. We're taking calls at our toll-free line. It's 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. Or if you're in the Portland area, you can dial direct at 971-533-7111. Now, one of the things I think happens when people evaluate a legalization initiative is they compare it to the legalization they want instead of the prohibition they've got. And that's what happened in 2010 in California. Ooh, 5x5 gardens too small. Ooh, it's going to be a monopoly in Oakland. Ooh, it's going to... All the things that could suck about it that weren't as good as what they wanted. And one of the talking points was, man, there'll be a better legalization in 2012. We'll have something better to support in 2012. Well, guess what? 2012 came and went. California didn't have anything to support. 2014 came and went. California didn't have anything to support. And folks, 2016 is by no means a lock. When you get a chance to vote for legalization, you cannot pass it up. Too many people's lives are affected by it to give up on it.
picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
It's never the wrong week to quit sniffing glue. Hey, it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone, so I got to take a break. It's our union-mandated safety meeting. I think you know what I'm talking about. So make sure you're safe. We'll be back with more calls and Electric Tuesday special tune coming up. It's an anniversary we want to celebrate right after these messages.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420RADIO to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby!
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, I hope you're enjoying your 420 break. And to keep that break going on, we are going to celebrate a very special anniversary today. Electric Bob's got the day off, and today is the fifth anniversary of the very first Symphony of Science tune, A Glorious Dawn, being made and remixed by our friend Melody Sheep out there on YouTube. You can check out symphonyofscience.com or go to YouTube and look up Melody Sheep to find more of these tracks. These are basically auto-tuned remixes of famous scientists and thinkers set to kind of an electronic beat that help to promote science and reason, something that we stand by very strongly here at 420 Radio and the Russ Belville Show. And of course, one of our biggest our fanboy moments was hearing these tunes, because it features one of the greatest potheads ever. And that would be Dr. Carl Sagan. A lot of people don't know that Dr. Carl Sagan was a regular marijuana consumer. Carl Sagan, of course, popularized science in the 1980s with his Cosmos television series, as well as his many appearances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, among others. And, you know, he was the Bill Nye, the science guy, before there was a Bill Nye, right? He was one of the very first that was such a great communicator of these high-end scientific concepts. He could bring it down to a level that anyone could understand. And I remember watching Cosmos as a 12-year-old boy, and Dr. Sagan just made me really interested in astronomy and science and physics, and I was just very, very fascinated by it all. And that feeling still pervades my thinking today when I think about cannabis and marijuana legalization and all the science that we have yet to know about this wonderful plant. I'm just thrilled that Carl Sagan was one of us. It was revealed in the essay Mr. X. And if you look up Mr. X essay Carl Sagan on Google, you can find his essay. It was published anonymously by Dr. Lester Grinspoon in one of his books. And it was only revealed after Sagan's death that it was Carl Sagan. He talks about how using marijuana helped him to have breakthroughs and new insights in all sorts of cosmological concepts and mathematical equations that he was working with on a daily basis. He literally was a rocket scientist, folks. So anytime someone says that marijuana affects your cognition, going to kill your brain cells or reduce your IQ, just say two words: Carl Sagan. This is Symphony of Science with A Glorious Dawn.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try. If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe. Space is filled with a network of wormholes. You might emerge somewhere else in space. Somewhere else in time.
The sky calls to us. If we do not destroy ourselves, we will one day venture to the stars. A still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rise. A morning filled with 400 million suns. The rising of the Milky Way. The cosmos is full beyond measure. Elegant truths of exquisite interrelationships of the awesome machinery of nature.
I believe our future depends powerfully on how well we understand this cosmos, in which we float like a mote of dust in the morning sky.
But the brain does much more than just recollect. It intercompares, it synthesizes, analyzes, it generates abstractions. The simplest thought, like the concept of the number one, has an elaborate logical underpinning. The brain has its own language for testing the structure and consistency of the world. A still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rose. A morning filled with 400 billion suns, the rising of the Milky Way. The sky calls to us. If we do not destroy ourselves, we will one day venture to the stars.
For thousands of years, people have wondered about the universe. Did it stretch out forever, or was there a limit? From the Big Bang to black holes, from dark matter to a possible Big Crunch, our image of the universe today is full of strange-sounding ideas.
How lucky we are to live in this time, the first moment in human history when we are, in fact, visiting other worlds. A still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rise. A morning filled with 400 billion suns. The rising of the Milky Way. A still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rise. A morning filled with 400 billion suns. The rising of the Milky Way.
The surface of the Earth is the shore of the cosmic ocean. Recently we've waded a little way up, and the water seems inviting.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Big Daddy Finks.
Funky, rollerin'.
What's happening? Big Daddy here. And I want you cool cats to come and chill over at my pad, the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be grooving every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour here at Roller J Studios. Second half hour here of Toker Talk Radio. Hour two of the Russ Belville Show. Our phone lines are open at 844-420-RADIO. That's toll-free, 844-207-2346. So you can call direct at 971-533-7111. 844-420-RADIO. We're talking about the Responsible Ohio proposal. And again, I must reiterate, this is the worst legalization proposal that I could support. Okay? You know what I'm really more offended about than the whole cartel part of it? Is having to get a license to grow at home. That bothers me more than the 10-member cartel. I mean, I can understand why, from the government side, the 10-member cartel is something they like. I mean, they want to have a situation. You know, the Cole memo says we got to track where all this marijuana is. We don't want it going out of state. And part of Responsible Ohio is saying is, by having it in just 10 locations, we're going to have a pretty good idea where the commercial marijuana is. And I guess you could say by having licensed home grows, you'd have a better control over it as well. But I want to talk about this because I'm going on, I've got some Twitter going around here. Mr. Justin Fought on Twitter refuses to listen to the show because he doesn't want to boost my ratings. So he's fighting with me on Twitter. It's funny to me. I got a toll-free number. I've put it out on Twitter. You don't even have to listen to the show. You can call the number without listening, Justin, and make your points. But I guess I intimidate some people and they're afraid of losing an argument justifying why they support marijuana prohibition. So that's all right. I'll still cover the points. Let's get to one of the points. One of the points that I hear people that hate Responsible Ohio, one of the points they make is this would be a terrible precedent. We'd be setting the precedent that somebody could come in and just buy legalization. To which I'm sure people in Alabama or Tennessee or West Virginia are saying, hey, please come in and buy some legalization. But let me play a clip here, because Ethan Nadelman, who's someone I respect an incredible amount. He's the head of the Drug Policy Alliance, one of the best public speakers and minds in not just marijuana policy reform, drug policy reform. He was at the International Cannabis Business Conference in San Francisco. I was there, and he made a speech, and he referred to the Responsible Ohio plan, and not in the best terms. Let's hear what Ethan has to say about it.
Growing should maybe get a preference for when it comes to the next level, right? But people who are putting money in for their own for-profit interests, I don't know. Creates a dilemma. And then we got the Ohio dilemma, right? You've been following this? Okay, so you know what's happening in Ohio right now? So in the fall, I get a call that there are 10 financial interests, business interests, who are each going to be putting in a total of $20 million to legalize marijuana in Ohio. Pretty impressive, right? I like the sound of this at first gas. Then it turns out what they're going to do is a constitutional initiative that is going to put into the Ohio Constitution that only the 10 business interests that paid for this will get to be involved on the wholesale side. Right? That's what it's happening, okay? There's a few qualifiers that if they don't live up to what they're supposed to do in terms of being the market, then it can be changed, et cetera. But that's what it's about. So I look at this thing, and they're following the model that was used with casinos. That's what's happened with casinos, as I understand it, with initiatives, whatever, is you write it in to favor the preferences. And they ask for our help on this thing. Now, what I know is, if we don't offer any help, then it's going to happen without DPA being involved at all. We're just sidelines, and they'll do what they're going to do. If we do provide help, we can make this a stronger, tighter initiative, and it gives us an opportunity to at least try to get them to embrace some of our principles, some of our ways of thinking about this. And this group is somewhat attentive. It's a bipartisan group. They're somewhat attentive. They care about what DPA thinks. They care about these broader issues. There's some ethical conscience wavering in this group here, right? So then I say, we reach a deal. Okay, we will help you with the drafting, right? They already had their draft, but then we're going to help improve it and get our values into this thing. You cannot say that DPA helped, that therefore that implies an endorsement, because we are not at this point going to endorse this thing, right? We're not going to be out there opposing you either. We want to see how this thing plays out, right? So, and you know, basically we're going to promise not to do any he said, she said on this thing, but anybody who knows what DPA stands for is going to know what was in that initiative is consistent with what we stand, believe, and what we don't, you know, what we don't believe, right? So now the initiative is out, and it's beginning to get some play there. And so here's the dialogue. Here's what I go on. I say, okay, if this thing doesn't move forward or if it fails, marijuana is going to remain illegal in Ohio for many, many years to come. There were 10,000 to 12,000 marijuana arrests a year last year for marijuana possession in Ohio. And as everywhere else, it's racially disproportionate, right? This initiative wins, and it will now be legal to possess up to an ounce. Most of those arrests are going to go away. And isn't that the fundamental about what we're fighting for? The human right not to be punished for what you put in your body and to possess marijuana, et cetera, right? Then I say, but this damn thing sticks in my craw. I mean, 10 business interests kind of dominate this thing. Then I say, you know, I'll tell you something. We were deeply involved in legislative efforts in New Jersey and New York, and then there was the one in Massachusetts we weren't as involved in. And each one of those things, although we fought for a broader approach, in the final legislative compromise that resulted, it's only a limited number of business interests anyway that are going to get licenses. So maybe it's not that different. Then I say, but this one's written in the Constitution. It's that much harder to change. But then I say, but this one actually, it limits the wholesale, but it's got special protections for medical patients in there. They're very sensitive on that score. And it's not as well drafted as it needs to be on that side, but there's something in there. And it's going to open up tens of thousands, if not more, legal jobs. Because on distribution and on everything else, that's going to be open licenses. There's going to be up to 1,500 licenses for sale in Ohio. I mean, it's going to be a pretty open thing. It's going to bring a lot above the ground. It's going to open up a lot of legal jobs. People are not going to get arrested for possession. But damn, an oligopoly essentially, 10 business interests, right? Well, then I think, so is there any other alternative to Ohio? There have been activists in Ohio for a long time. I mean, for a while, I stayed totally out of Ohio because it seemed like there were 7 activists and 12 lawsuits going on. I couldn't keep them all straight, right? Now there seem to be much more credible people doing stuff, but I don't see where they're going to get the money. And I've made my commitment on California. That's going to be a monumental. We want to try to raise $15 million at least. We don't know if there's going to be opposition. We don't know if Sheldon Adelson is going to decide to play here like he did in Florida. We don't know what's going to happen there. We have to be prepared for what could come down the pike. We cannot assume there's not going to be funded or organized opposition against us. That would be silly and naive and irresponsible on our part. And I can't raise any funding for this thing if people think we're going to be silly or naive about that sort of stuff, right? So then I'm thinking, you know, so the fact of the matter is, and I was talking to one of the activists there a couple days ago, and I said, listen, I mean, I don't like this oligopoly thing either, but are the activists who have fought all their lives in marijuana prohibition going to oppose an initiative because it's got an oligopoly on the supply side, even though it's going to open everything else up and give some protections to patients? And by the way, they won't legalize home grow, but they're not going to ban home grow. So home grow can be introduced at some point, anything that's not banned in there, and there is a commission that can review this stuff. That's the dilemmas we're facing now. And then I got an email this morning hearing about another state where I don't see any real money coming for legalization.
All right, so I got to cut him off there because that's pretty much what Ethan had to say about the Ohio situation and kind of going through the same mental anguish that I went through. And the way it comes down to me here is that the number one thing is ending the contraband nature of marijuana. Right? Decrim, because one of the things I get from these Ohio people say, well, it's already decrimmed up to 100 grams. And you got to be careful about making that argument, because that can be used against you. Oh, so prohibition's really no big deal then, is it? It's already decrimmed up to 100 grams, right? Why legalize at all? So you got to be careful making that argument. And somebody else tried to make an argument that, well, it only legalizes up to an ounce, and then it'll be illegal after that. There is nothing I see in Responsible Ohio that repeals the current decrim. I see no repeal. I see no supersede in there. To my reading of it, possession of up to an ounce would be legal. Possession of an ounce to 3.5 ounces would be decrim still. So it doesn't change on that respect. Again, I'm open to correction if someone can point out a specific part of the statute that proves me wrong. But I didn't find it in there this morning when I was looking for it. So you have to look at this and think, all right, we're going to legalize possession. We're going to legalize. Oh, and when Ethan gave that talk, this was before Responsible Ohio had added the provision that allows for home licensed grows of 4 plants, 8 ounces, like what we have here in Oregon, except you have to get a license in Ohio. So we're going to legalize possession an ounce. I can go to a store and buy an ounce. I can get a license and grow 8 ounces and 4 plants. I can get a license and open a pot shop. I can get a license and open a processing facility if I like. Everything you want about legalization, except perhaps setting free all the pot prisoners, is in there. It's even got medical marijuana protections in there. Everything you could want about legalization is in this thing, unless you're a person who wants to grow wholesale and make money. That's the only thing. So to me, when you're going to the ballot box in Ohio, you don't get a choice on the ballot in 2015 that says good legalization, bad legalization. You get a choice that says bad legalization or prohibition. And you have to try to convince me that some people not being able to grow wholesale for profit is worth continuing that prohibition, is worth continuing to lock up disproportionately Black and Latino men under the age of 30 for possession of marijuana. Now, I do get people, well, there's other groups. There's Ohioans to End Prohibition. There's Responsible Ohioans. There's Ohio Cares, or whatever the hell the other groups are named, Ohio Rights Group. And that's part of the problem right there. There's like 4 or 5 other groups, isn't there? And like Ethan said, do they have any money? Whatever legalization you write up, whatever text you come up with, whatever initiative you have planned, could have the seal of approval from Jesus, Moses, and Muhammad. But if it ain't got no money, it don't mean diddly squat. It's got to have money to get signatures. It's got to have money to make campaign commercials. It's got to have money, and Responsible Ohio has that. And don't think that if this fails, another initiative is coming the next year. The general public and the political wisdom out there don't know the details. If Responsible Ohio makes the ballot and fails, the headlines aren't going to be "Voters Reject Ohio Monopoly Cartel." No, the headlines will be "Voters Reject Legalization." The headlines will be, after 4 straight wins in 2 straight elections, marijuana legalization has finally suffered a defeat. Marijuana legalization, as it tried to reach eastward, ran up against a wall in Ohio. The momentum of marijuana legalization is over. The pendulum has begun to swing back. I can write the headlines for you. I can write the op-eds. You have to ask yourself, when you're in the voting box there, the voting booth, is this so bad that I can condemn a medical marijuana patient to being arrested or not having medicine? That I can condemn mostly young Black and brown kids to lives with criminal records? Is it really that bad? And then there's the argument, oh, well, it'll set a precedent. It'll set a precedent for the other states. We don't want to set a precedent that you can just come in and buy legalization. Although, like I said, I'm sure Arkansas, Tennessee, West Virginia, they might not see that as such a bad thing, someone coming in and buying legalization. But this idea that we can't support this legalization because a particular part of it sucks so bad it would set a precedent that everyone else would use, has yet to be proven true. In Washington State, this is what I heard from all of the No on I-502 people. It sets a terrible precedent because it doesn't have home grow. It sets a terrible precedent because it's got a 5 nanogram per se DYD. If we vote this in, it'll set a precedent that all the other states will follow. It's got way too high of taxes. If we vote this in, it'll set a precedent that all the other states will follow. And guess what? None of the other states followed it. Oregon and Alaska passed legalization with higher, well, Oregon's passed with a higher margin than Washington's. But they both passed legalization that doesn't have the 5 nanogram per se DUID, that allows for home grow, and doesn't have exorbitant taxation. All of the worst fears of Washington I-502 that there'd be this terrible precedent set didn't come true. And they also said, oh my God, once this thing's voted on, oh, once this thing's in law, man, it'll be so hard to change. Oh my God, it'll be impossible to change. We'll never change it. Well, guess what? Right now, their legislature is discussing a bill that will allow for home grow. They're going to get that home grow provision. Now, the per se DUID thing's still in place, and it does indeed suck. But Oregon doesn't have a per se DUID, and these two states next to each other, both with legal marijuana markets, that will both show, I predict, to have the same levels of traffic fatalities and same levels, you know, both going down. They'll be so identical to each other that legislators will question whether the 5 nanogram thing's even worth it. Plus, you'll hear some more stories of people who were unfairly, falsely busted for being impaired when they weren't. And more science will come in because Oregon State's legalization requires scientific study of the driving issue and official reports. We'll start getting official state government reports that verify what we already know, and that is nanograms in your bloodstream have, or your urine, have nothing to do with whether or not you're impaired. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We got a call from the 937 area code. You're on the air with Toker Talk Radio. What's on your mind? All right, if you're listening on speakers, you got to get on the phone now because you're on the air.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is the home grow license. The home grow license and the enforcement behind it, do you feel that that will open the door for abuse or, like, discrimination against home growers?
Well,
from what I understand, the enforcers are being paid with tax funds, their tax money, that comes from the 10 grows.
Sure. Well, the enforcement has to be paid from tax money somehow. It's gonna be a government agency, so they're going to fund it with taxes, sure. As far as unfair enforcement, I mean, more unfair than what's going on now when people can bust down and the cops can bust down your door if they suspect you've got a plant growing in your house?
Well, I mean, with the, with the license, you're kind of announcing to everybody that, hey, you know, here it is. And, well, I see what you're saying, though.
Is it going to be a publicly, they're not going to post this list of licenses as public record where I could look up where grows are. Is that the concern?
I don't know.
If it's something like that, that would be something to worry about for sure. I always have to look at these things as, does it make it any worse than what it is now? If I'm a guy that wants to grow 4 plants in Ohio right now, it's a felony. So getting a license doesn't seem like that big a deal to me.
Okay.
Something to think about. I mean, I would prefer there was no license. As far as I'm concerned, you know, your personal cultivation and your personal use of marijuana shouldn't require a license. But, you know,
right.
I think there's going to be some weird steps we have to take to get to that point.
Well, and the other thing, too, we need to remember that it's still illegal on federal level.
Oh, yeah. It's still illegal. Oh, Gothic,
you know,
Prophet.
And you're registering or licensing, you know, something that is illegal on the federal level. So,
yeah, yeah. All right. Well, thank you for your call. Appreciate the question, and thanks for tuning in.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Gothic Prophet in the chat room reminds us that cultivation of less than 99 grams is decrimmed just like possession is. That's right. Ohio laws, you can cultivate, and it's decriminalization. So the difference here, first of all, 99 grams, that's 3.5 ounces You could get 3.5 ounces on one plant quite easily, couldn't you? So what we're talking about here is the difference of getting a ticket for growing one plant versus getting a license to legally grow four. Let's go to the phone lines. We got a caller from 567 area code on the line. What's on your mind?
I just need to talk to Russ. Am I online?
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to you talk about the felony charges of growing. Ohio's decrim law now allows you can grow up a certain amount without it being a felony.
Right, up to 99 grams worth.
And the stipulations of having a license to grow, one plant, like you said, can produce more than the 8 ounces that they're going to allow us to have. What are we supposed to do with the other three plants?
Yeah, that's true. That's the same thing we got in Oregon. They gave us 4 plants and 8 ounces as if we're all growing 2 ounce plants. I really wish it was more like Colorado. In Colorado, they let you grow 3 mature, 3 immature, and you can possess all the results of your harvests, plural, right. Which technically is an unlimited amount, man. You could harvest a lot of weed.
Yeah, I understand. I understand the medical part. I believe and understand that the patients need their medicine. That's wholeheartedly 100% understandable. I feel that Ohio does not need to get into this constitutional amendment that's going to damage us later on if the feds do drop the charges or drop the level of marijuana. We'll be stuck with a law that's going to be hard to get out of.
So your worry is that you'll be stuck constitutionally with whatever the limits of Responsible Ohio set, and then the federal government gives more to the other states?
Yeah, that's what I feel. I mean, our laws have been decreasing little by little each year anyway. So the way I look at it, and a lot of us do, that RO has put more restrictions on our freedom with the plant than what we would be if we just sat back and wait for Ohio to loosen them up even less than what they are now.
When do you think Ohio does that, if Responsible Ohio doesn't pass?
Well, if federal law, I mean, there's other amendments we're trying to get passed in the state. Mm-hmm. The one ROC, mm-hmm. we have protections for driver's license, for our employment. RO doesn't offer any of that. So right. Even if RO does pass, what are we going to do with our employment?
The same as what you're doing now, right?
Yeah, same with
okay.
what we're doing now.
So Responsible Ohio doesn't make it any worse?
No, it doesn't make it any better either.
Okay, but it does make it so that you can possess an ounce, you can buy from pot shops, you can set up a pot shop, you can set up a processing shop, and you can grow 4 plants and 8 ounces in your home. Isn't that better?
Well, somewhat it is, but where's the freedom? And my point is being stuck with the law that is if federal does drop.
Okay. If the feds drop the schedule of marijuana, that doesn't grant states a sudden amount of marijuana they can have. It merely says the feds won't bust you anymore. So like Indiana next door could still keep marijuana prohibited.
Right. Yeah, well, that'd be up to if the federal drops it, the state would have that right to go in and change their laws.
Right.
Or, amendments.
And they could change it to something worse than what Responsible Ohio's is, couldn't they?
Not if the people wouldn't want it.
Well, right.
These initiatives are supposed to be for the people, by the people, not, you know, for RO to come in and change our laws worse than what we've got now.
But I don't see, you haven't explained to me how Responsible Ohio makes it any worse than what it is now. You've shown how the employment wouldn't be any worse, and I've explained to you how possession, growing, and pot shops would be better.
Well, I just, like I said, I just don't understand the reasoning behind getting stuck with a law that it's.
Well, here's the reasoning.
Fight again.
Yeah. Okay. I get your point, and I want to thank you for your call. But let me make a point here, as we're just running out of time here on the show, and I want to make sure you make this point. People get mad sometimes, I think, when a legalization's put up and it doesn't have stuff they like in it, and they think it's awful, and they think that something better's coming along. But folks, that's not a guarantee that something better is coming along. This last caller just talked about, you know, when the feds drop this, when do you think that's going to happen? That's why I asked, like, give me a year. Is it 2016 when that happens? Okay, another 10,000 Ohioans get criminal records. Is it 2020 when this happens? Okay, another 50,000 Ohioans get criminal records. Every year you delay, thousands of people get lifetime criminal records. Now, I think part of why we have this laissez-faire attitude toward it sometimes is most of us don't get busted. And most of us think everything's hunky-dory and cool, but maybe most of us are white and older and don't realize what this is doing to inner city neighborhoods, minority neighborhoods, that there isn't time to wait on this. And if you want to direct your anger, direct it at activists who for years have been dilly-dallying around not getting legalization you like on the ballot. This is a lot of this is it has, you know, we gotta fess up to our own shortcomings. And one of these shortcomings is we're talking about the state of Ohio, where for decades there was a man who lived there by the name of Peter Lewis, a multi-billionaire Peter Lewis of Progressive Insurance, who spent thousands and millions of dollars on various reform efforts all around the nation and nationally as well. He helped fund most of everything that has ever passed in the United States. How is it that the activists in Ohio never were able to convince Peter Lewis to fund a legalization initiative they would like? How did that not happen? People that are questioning why this is happening, I'll tell you why it's happening, because that's where the money is. 10 investors are putting up $20 million each. They're going to have $200 million to fund this thing, to get the signatures, to get it on the ballot, to do the campaigning, to do the counter campaigning against Sheldon Adelson or whoever the hell comes in with their Reefer Madness campaign ads against it. It's because it's serious. And this is something that has bothered me, and it's increasingly bothering me the older I get and the longer time I spend in this movement, is that there's kind of an attitude among some in legalization of this kumbaya, let's sing hippy-dippy kind of, you know, ethos that asks people to donate their time, their money, and their emotional involvement into legalization pie-in-the-sky pipe dreams that never have a shot at succeeding. And I'm just tired of leading people astray that way. I don't even care what is on your legalization text until you can tell me you've got 8 figures of money behind it. If your campaign war chest doesn't have 2 commas in the bank account, then it's not even worth my time to discuss it with you. If you come to me, how many times have I read from some well-meaning activist group, we have X number of likes on our Facebook page, and if every one of those likes just told 2 more people, and if every one of those people gathered 10 signatures, and if every one of them just donated $5, and if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. Any legalization campaign whose pitch comes at you with if only is a measure that would pass if only they lived in reality. The other thing that frustrates me about legalization activists is wanting to put forth the perfect legalization initiative without any consideration as to the political realities surrounding it. We're going to legalize all the weed. We're going to free all the prisoners. It'll be treated like dandelions and no licenses and no taxes. And Bob Marley's birthday will be a federal holiday and whatever the hell else. I wish there was something better on the horizon for Ohio, but I'm with Ethan on this one. I think you don't pass Responsible Ohio in 2015. You might not see another legalization shot till 2020 at the outside. And if you think 50,000 more people with criminal records is worth it to prevent some sort of evil cartel of wholesale growers, then, God, I don't know what's going to make you happy. I guess another 5 years of prohibition. Oh, well. We'll talk more about this in the coming weeks, I'm sure, but that's all the time I got for today. Time flies when you legalize. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.